5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
Reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
I'm just a fool boy. I need no sympathy.
Because I'm easy come, easy go. Little high, little low.
Anyway, the wind blows.
Doesn't really matter
to me. To me. Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead.
Thank you. The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, one and all. Good evening, listener, I should say. A little bit of Bohemian Rhapsody there from Queen. I defy anyone listening to that to say they weren't headbanging to the guitar riff in the middle there. It was been a while. Party on, Wayne, and all of that. Great song. One of my favourites. And great start to the show, episode 66, and it is now nearer 10, I think, 9:36 on Thursday. I think it's still October, I'm damned if I remember. It was like January 2 minutes. Oh, my dog's come to see me, yeah, dog. And he's going to be on the show later. Maybe he's, you know, if we're lucky, he'll have do a crap on the carpet, because that's what he does well. So I'm a bit lonely. I think I'm gonna bring her on. It's me.
Hi.
Old mate Mucker Eckstein. How are you, my dear?
I am good, and I was headbanging too. I really was. But you know, what I remember most from that movie was Alice Cooper, and that's probably the only reason that I watched it was. Alice Cooper. I'm such an Alice Cooper fan.
Remember him being in it.
What?
it's been a long time. I mean, I've not come.
The We're Not Worthy scene, and they played Feed My Frankenstein.
Cooper?
And yes, come on. That was like the highlight of the movie for me was Alice Cooper.
Yeah,
and I just thought that was like that for everybody, but maybe it's not.
No, I mean it was one of those. It was like a cult sort of thing. It was like, I mean, it was all right. I mean, it had some moments because it was like an expanded. Was it Saturday Night Live? They started that as a skit. You know, I mean, it was all right. And then of course I totally fell out with Mike Myers when he did Austin fucking Powers. To be honest,
God,
which was racist. Seriously.
Oh, I hated that movie.
They got a Canadian guy, you know, and dressed him up sort of like some sort of fop and put a fake accent on. You know, it'd be like sort of, you know, blacking somebody up, you know, and putting them in Roots. You know, I mean, you don't do that, you know. It's just enough English actors could have pulled that off better than he did. But but hey, ho. I mean, I tell you, it's funny, actually. I don't know if you've seen The Kingsman, which is a great movie, and it's full of Brits. It's got Colin Firth in it, and it had Michael Caine in the first one. Oh, no, spoiler alert, he's not in the second one. You know, and that's how you do British spies. I mean, you know, James Bond and all that, and Austin, no. don't. I heard rumours there's going to do another one. Just, if you're listening, Mike Myers, don't. Do not do another one. They just got progressively more awful.
I am sure this is not of any interest to anybody, but I am burning myself trying to light a candle. It's very difficult to light a candle one-handed, just in case anybody wanted to know that. It's very difficult, but I got it. I just got it, though.
Thank you for sure. Why is your power out? Why are you lighting candles? What's going on with you?
Okay, this is a funny story, and it's going to make me sound very, very lazy, which I kind of am, I suppose. But my light blew in my room, so I'm lighting a candle because I don't want the overhead light on because that's too bright right now. So I'm trying to
too lazy.
I should have just said
light.
I was trying to create a good atmosphere here, but that's not the truth. So I was just going with the truth. I was lazy and didn't replace the light bulb.
Well, there you go. Well, I mean, talking about ambience, I have one of my dogs with me this evening. He's usually on the couch. I don't know why he's decided to be with me tonight, but he is. He's just sort of, hey up, dog. He's just sort of there. Come and say hi. He's just sort of, obviously this is not visual, so you can't see him, but he's there. He's just sort of,
yeah, he's not going to say hi like India would. He's, you know, got an attitude or something. India would say hi to me.
India would, but India's tucked up in her little beddy bys, bless her.
I miss her. I tell her that the Panic Room misses her.
We will. Well, she'll be, I think, sometime, obviously, around Thanksgiving, although we will not go out on Thanksgiving because that is a Thursday. But, well, next time she's on on school holiday. We'll have her on. But obviously she's fast asleep.
We had a guest actually scheduled to be on the show last year in Thanksgiving, and you had to tell me, we're not going to do a Thanksgiving show. I was not aware of this fact, so I had to cancel somebody.
have you booked people for this Thanksgiving yet?
No, I didn't.
No, good, okay. And if Christmas Day falls on Thursday.
Most of the time you only have to tell me like 3 times, and then I get it.
And Christmas Day is on a Thursday this year. I'm not doing that either. So you're on your own on that one, Bucko.
Is it really? Are you sure? I know it's
no,
not.
No, I said if it is. I don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure it isn't.
I don't know. So, hey, I've got a story. It's an insect-based story, which is always the best. Here's the thing. I was cleaning the... every morning I've got to clean all the leaves out of my pool skimmer. And I found these sort of fluffy caterpillars in there, drowned, before. And I pulled it out, and it was still alive. So me being me, thought, oh, I'm going to save it. These little fluffy guys, about, I don't know, inch and a half long. I thought, I'll save him. And so I came in. Of course, we've got all sorts of containers. And I put him in this container, this big jar thing, and put some oak leaves in with him, and, you know, got him dried off. Fiddle around with him, got him dried off with a bit of, kitchen roll, he didn't look too good, but he's fine. He perked up and he started crawling around and munching on the leaves and that. And of course, you know, I figured he'd eat oak leaves because that, you know, we have oak trees overshadowing the pool, which is great in the summer, I have to say, because it gives you a natural shade. And obviously, the leaves fall in, and he's been on a leaf and he's fell in. So I thought, you know, natural curiosity and everything. I'll be the zoologist, I guess. So I'll look it. I'll Google him. Look him up. So I looked up, fuzzy caterpillars, Texas and oak tree. Apparently, what I have and what I've been fiddling around with and drying off from that is the most toxic caterpillar in the U.S.
Oh my!
they have spines buried in their fuzzy coat. They're like little stonefish, and apparently they give you excruciating agony. They must have a neurotoxin in them. Reading all these reports of, you know, kids who picked them up and been hospitalized and have agonizing pains for 24 hours, and I've been fiddling with this bloody thing for 20 minutes, drying him off and trying to get him on his leaf.
But he didn't hurt you. That's good. Now, what have you done with him now? What have you done with him?
We have a big... it's a big cheese, believe it, it's a big cheese ball, cheesy balls plastic container that I cut a hole in the lid and put some gauze on it, and he's living in there at the moment. He's in the kitchen at the moment, living there. He's quite happy, munching on his little oak leaves and doing whatever it is he does all day. And he's
You're gonna keep him? Yeah, you're gonna keep him. Just toxic.
We want to watch him. We do. This is what we do. This fact. We want to watch what he turns into. And they turn into really sort of fluffy moths, which are really cute. But So that's my story. I don't know. I was telling India the story of many years ago. Me and the wife went on a vacation to Mexico. Mm-hmm. Never been to Mexico before. Went to around Chichen Itza and Cancun down that way, and we went to one of these we paid like a day rate to get them, and there's like a resort thing where you've got beach and you can do motor boating, and we did horseback riding on the beach and all this sort of stuff. And we were in, I think, around lunchtime, and I spotted this snake, and it was slithering by. So of course, me being me, went tearing off after this snake with my wife in hot pursuit. And I actually caught. I got cornered behind the bins, there's some bins, and caught this. So I've got this snake. It must have been a good 5 foot long snake, a long thin snake.
Yeah.
And I've got this thing by the tail, and it's wriggling around. And Jen says, "What? You know, do you know what is it?" I said, "I don't know. I had no idea." And I caught this without thinking. I just gone and caught this thing. It could have been the world's most deadliest Mexican snake on the planet, and I just caught it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not too smart.
I need to stop. I need to Google things before I catch them, I think.
Yeah, but where's the fun in that?
I mean, it's funny. She said, I mean, the first vacation we went on, she was kind of amazed. You know, we went sort of because she's a bit of a sort of a nerd as well, like me, went fishing around in rock pools, and I've got my hand in these, because I mean, I've done it all my life. You know, I fiddle around with things that people, you know, make them ill and give them rashes and a poison or something. I've fiddled with these things since I was, you know, 4 years old. And, you know, it's just like, what? It's just literally stuck my hand in these rock pools and I was catching snakes. And I just, I was going to say I'm a regular Steve Irwin, but, you know, he kind of came on stuck, so...
I liked him. I did. I was so sad in that little...
That was a... I mean,
so cute.
The irony of it was that he was killed by one of the most, you know, gentle creatures around.
Yeah.
But they do have a big sort of three-foot stinger that they will stick in you if you upset them. But, you know, we used to love his show. You know, he'd be... fiddling with rattlesnakes and killer spiders and crocs and yeah, it was a stingray, you know, it was just...
My mom
just
loved his show.
Oh, we did. We were big, big fans. It was really sad when he died, but...
Yep.
Well, thank you for bringing the tone down. That was great. That was good.
I do
so,
that really.
I'm assuming we have a show. I could spend an hour and a half telling our listener about all the crazy shit I've caught and picked up and captured and handled and, you know, it's just...
We have a very exciting show. I'm very excited.
Do we?
We have Alessandra Torre.
What is going on?
Yeah,
again,
Alessandra,
fantastic.
Yes, again. I'm so... honored that she said she would come back, and I'm such a fangirl of hers. I'm such a fan, and I have been for a while now, and I read numerous books by her, and she's just amazing. And she's so pretty.
So,
I have such a girl crush on her.
This is going to be one of these shows where she's probably listening now. One of these shows where I don't get to say much because you're just going to be gushing. No, don't say that, Jim. You're going to be effervescing. Effervescing over her awesomeness. Sorry if I offended. I was going to say slip of the... everything I say from now on is going to sound like a double entendre, so I'm going to stop talking. We have Alessandra Torre, New York Times bestseller. We have Becky the Reviewer. I have remembered because I've written it down. It's on a post-it in front of me because she shouted at me the week after the loss. Never let me forget it. I'll never live that down, bless her. I did forget that week, but...
you did.
But there you go. So, hey, what happens next? Any ideas? What do we do now?
You have to push the button. The button.
Which
Alessandra,
one?
Alessandra.
Oh,
button.
Yeah.
I don't know which one.
I hope she's there. Alessandra, are you there, Mom?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I hope you enjoyed my... fuzzy caterpillar story. That was
it was fascinating.
It was, wasn't it?
I think it's more exciting than when he talks about fruit flies, though. So
there's no need to
you were
like
in love.
I'll have to catch the fruit fly discussion next time.
even I got bored with fruit flies, to be honest. There's only so many things you can say about fruit flies, man.
It was exciting while it lasted, though. It really was.
Yeah, for about two weeks, and then the novelty wore right off, didn't it?
I
although
was thinking, when you were telling the story... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go on. You're, go on.
We hear him way
just
too much.
Funny. Do you? Yeah, it was funny because I was thinking when I was listening to you, I was walking into a restaurant the other day, and there's a big glass window in front of the restaurant, and all along the sidewalk were... I mean, there weren't hundreds, but there was at least 20 or 30 giant fuzzy caterpillars.
Wow.
They were all dying because they had gotten onto the sidewalk and they couldn't figure out how to get back to the grass.
Oh.
And it was a really hot day. But we were way far away from grass. Like there was, you know, this giant parking lot. And so I was torn between looking like a crazy person, going around and picking up all these caterpillars and then running them over and dropping them off in the grass and coming back. And I didn't. But the whole time I was in the restaurant, I was thinking about them. And it was one of those things, like, I was like, for all I know, they're poisonous, you know. And I go and start picking up and transporting. Next thing I'm in the hospital. So... that's what I was talking
about. Poor little guys. Poor little. Yeah, but say, yeah, I mean, the one that the one that I rescued. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't until I Googled it and did a bit of research on it, and yeah, they are incredibly toxic. So they will put you in hospital. Apparently, you know, the pain is.
Wow.
It's pretty agonizing, but I'm fine. It just didn't bother me at all. Yeah, I didn't even wash. I washed my hands, and you know, I had something to eat, and
yeah. You also have creepy spiders, though. Don't you have spiders, or am I just making you have spiders?
No. That's the one thing with my little girl wants a tarantula,
Yes. Oh,
I just don't understand.
Just a pet
tarantula.
That.
No.
Ugh.
No.
That is.
But I mean,
so
to be fair,
bizarre.
For me, it's more okay. It just will be one more thing that she's nagged for that I end up looking after, like the lizard and the goldfish and the guinea pig. And but you know what kids are like. You know, they get something and it's the best thing since sliced bread for a week, and then that's it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking she's a little girl and she wants a tarantula. Why doesn't she want a kitten or, you know, a nice...
Because she's my little girl, that's why.
Yeah, exactly.
My little girl. She has a lizard in her bedroom. She's got an angelfish as well now, because one of her goldfish died, so we've got this angelfish. And he's awesome. He's pretty awesome. So, yeah, it is.
Yeah,
so, Alessandra here to talk to us about The Ghostwriter, which was released in September. Tell us a little bit about it.
So The Ghostwriter is my first general fiction novel. Normally, I write romance and suspense, and this is, I really don't know what genre to put it in. It's general fiction, similar to Girl on the Train or Gone Girl. It's also, I would call it a psychological suspense. But it's about a famous novelist, a famous romance author, who finds out that she's going to die. And so before she does, she has to write this final book that she's been putting off forever. And it's a book that confesses this, you know, huge secret that she has. So, but she only has 3 months left to live, so she hires a ghostwriter to help her write it. And so it's the story of the telling of the story, but also the relationship that builds between her and the ghostwriter throughout her last month.
Wow. And I mean, you sort of name checked two incredibly good films there as well.
Yeah.
Both of those movies were just, you know, wildly engaging. I enjoyed those. So you know, you're struggling to put a genre to it. I mean, yeah, this is a difficult one. That is a difficult one.
Yeah, well, part of it is I didn't realize it was going to be sad. I mean, because it's not, you're not sad about the author dying. She's perfectly fine with that. But that has been the huge response I've gotten from readers is, you know, like that they were sobbing at the end. And that was unexpected to me. So it's been kind of difficult to market because I started out marketing it as a psychological suspense, but apparently it's a tearjerker, you know, would also appeal to like me before you type readers. So I'm kind of in this gray area. It's been very interesting to market. So right now I'm going after two audiences. I'm going after more of a tearjerker audience and also psychological suspense. And it's had amazing reviews. So I think it's appealing to both audiences.
I can't wait to read it. Yeah, you know, yeah. I was going to say, I read a number of your books. And what I find interesting is how different they all are. You know, I mean, you have these Girl in 6E and and then I remember reading, I think it was Black Lies, and I remember thinking it just felt like I had this blindfold over my eyes, and I couldn't exactly, you know, tell exactly what was going on, and it was driving me crazy. I remember that. It was so good, and I wanted to know, and it was one of those books that you just had to keep, you know, keep turning the pages quicker and quicker because you had to find out what exactly was going on. You know, and then you write just the, you know, the romance with, what was that one that I read that I loved so much? The one that they turned into that, wasn't that that?
Hollywood Dirt.
Movie? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
Hollywood
I loved
Dirt,
that.
Yeah.
I did.
This is a contemporary romance, yeah.
Yeah, so you just write such, so many different, you know, genres, and it's amazing. I love that. Do you have, like, a favorite? Like...
As a reader, I read suspense is my favorite genre to read. I would love to write more suspense, and that was really the Ghostwriters was supposed to be a suspense novel, and it is because it's a mystery you're trying to figure out the whole time. But I just have learned that I can't really control which books speak to me, you know, which books want to be written. I wish I would stick to one genre because it would make my life so much easier as far as marketing and building a brand.
Mm-hmm.
But the ideas just seem to come from all over the place.
Yeah.
But if I could pick, I think the response I've gotten from this book is everyone said, this is what you need to write. Like, you need to write more books like this, which is great, but The Ghostwriter hasn't sold like my other books, you know? So I can't afford to necessarily write more books like that consistently, you know? So I don't really know what I'm going to do in the future. It's going to be interesting to see. But I think what I'll probably do is write, you know, two or three romances a year and then a passion project every year, and that will be, you know, who knows, in terms of genre.
I still have yet to read the last Deanna Madden book, and
mm-hmm.
it's definitely one that whenever I think about it, I'm like, I have to know what, you know, what happens with that story. But you know, I don't know that always when somebody asks me about, you know, a favorite book or something, that just springs to mind, The Girl in 6E. It really does. I have that book in hardcover on my shelf, and I loved it so much. I don't know. Do you ever miss old characters? Do you, you know, any? Does any old character ever come back to haunt you?
Deanna is my favorite character.
I love her.
All of my characters. Deanna is my favorite character, and I always plan. I have always assumed that I will write more books in that series. And in the end of If You Dare, the book you haven't read yet, in the author's note at the end, I say, I would like to write more books in the Deanna Madden series. But to be honest, I really thought by this point in time that the movie would have been made, the Girl in 6E movie. And so I always thought, like, oh, well, I'll release more books when the movie comes out, you know, because it'll be, like, renewed interest in the series.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie fell apart, and then we were talking to TV shows for a while, and then I thought, well, if I do a TV show, maybe instead of me writing like three more full length novels, I'll do more like novellas, like a TV show type thing, where each one is like an episode of a TV show. So I don't really know, I know that I will at some point write more books because I love that character and I love like her whole world, and.
Yeah. I think that's where I was going with the question.
And it needs some conclusion.
Yeah, definitely. and I remember from the last time you were on the show, we talked about Jeremy and how much I loved Jeremy and how he was not your favorite guy. And
yeah.
He was so perfect. He was. What didn't you like about Jeremy?
He's actually, I think he's my least favorite character out of all of my books, out of 15
that
books.
That is saying a lot.
Jeremy is probably my least favorite character, yeah. And, you know, I think it's because Deanna is so damaged, and I think that that she needs someone, in my mind, She needs someone who's a little damaged. And you know what? I would love Jeremy for her if Jeremy knew everything about her. But because he doesn't, because for those of y'all who haven't read the book, Deanna is a character. She wants to kill people. You know, I mean, she is a psychopath. And she has homicidal tendencies.
Very
so.
Hot psychopath.
Yes. She's very attractive. Who works in the adult industry. She has barricaded herself in her apartment. She's a recluse. She doesn't leave her apartment, but she works online, you know, fulfilling male fantasies via webcam. But she battles this strong desire to kill people. So, and that is something her boyfriend, Jeremy, is not aware of. I mean, actually, he is aware of that. He is aware that she wants to kill people, but he's not aware that she's actually ever killed someone.
Right.
So there's so many secrets that she keeps from him. And I feel like in order for them to have a healthy relationship, she has to be honest with him about that. And I'm not altogether certain that he'd stick around if he knew that. And that to me is the biggest indicator. I think he's great. I mean, I love Jeremy. I just don't love him with Deanna. I'd like her to be with Mike.
Yes. You
Mike
know, I was going to say, as much as
I love
Jeremy,
Mike. Yeah.
I can definitely see that. And I almost felt a little bit guilty for thinking, you know, that she would do better with Mike. I did definitely thought that. Not to put any spoil, I don't want to have any spoilers out there, but you keep talking about Jeremy in the present tense, and that makes me go, because I have read the beginning of If You Dare, and yeah. am I missing something?
And you're worried that Jeremy dies. Right. Well, to be honest, it's not really known whether Jeremy's alive or not.
Even at the end of the book,
it's not really known. Yeah, and readers email me all the time asking about Jeremy. But in my mind, my last memory of Jeremy is that he was alive. I mean, because that was the last scene I wrote where he was interacting with anyone. He was alive. So in my mind, I think of him as alive. But you should read the book.
Yeah, definitely. I like the fact that you almost question whether or not he's alive. I think that's really interesting because author here.
Yeah.
It's your world.
Well, it's very funny as an author because a lot of times when I have conversations with people about the book, I'll say, I think. this conversation with, you know, like, I think that she feels this way. Like,
yeah,
I should know how she feels. You know what I mean? Because
I do.
I created her. But in my head, all of my characters are their own individuals, and they don't really share things with me a lot of times. They share what they want to share with me, but there's so much I don't know about them, you know. And I feel like they're people.
That is so interesting because I was talking to another author friend just recently, and he said something very similar. And it was like I asked a question about a character, and he said, you know, they haven't shown me that yet, and I was like. That is so fascinating to me. It really is. I love that. I do. And now I want more Deanna. And you know, the funny thing is I remember how dorky I was when I read the books, and I made teasers and everything. And just earlier today when I was scrolling on Facebook, I saw that girl. I don't even remember what her name was, but I saw the girl that I picked for Deanna, and I don't even see her as whoever she is. I see that picture, and I go, it's Deanna, and of course it's not, you know.
Right.
But they become real people, you know, they really do. If you have a book or a character or something that's just that you find so amazing, they just become real, and you can see them, and And that's one thing that, you know, with the girl in 6C with a movie, I have to say, I don't know if they would be able to do it justice. I really don't. And there's so many times that a book will be made into a movie. And, well, just recently they did, we talk about it all the time. What was that? Dolores Claiborne. No, not Dolores. What was that movie, James? Gerald's Game. There we go.
Oh, Gerald's Game. Gerald's Game.
I loved the book, and they made it into a movie, and I loved the movie. And I think it's one of the first times that I can actually say I think they did a really great job with a movie. And I don't think that happens all the time, though. I really don't, and I think it's sad because, you know, we have this vision in our head. And that's what it's like when I'm reading a book. I can see it. It's like a little movie in my head. And then when they take it and make it into a movie, and they put it all out there, and we don't have to use our imagination.
Yeah, it doesn't meet those expectations.
Yes, yes. And I just
the Girl in 6C movie, I was having a call with the producer, and he said, you know, We're going to start sending out the script to actresses. Like, who do you want? And this was like, at the time, we were dealing with a big studio, Europa Corp, Luc Besson's company, and it was really like we could have whoever, like anybody, you know?
Yeah.
So it was like, who do you want? And I couldn't think of a single person. Like,
right?
I could not think who I wanted. I wanted Natalie Portman 10 years ago. That's who I wanted. But, you know, Natalie Portman isn't 10 years ago. You know, she's older now. But I was thinking, like, Natalie Portman the professional, but older, you know? And I couldn't think of a single person that that I knew of that I wanted to play in that. And they wanted a big name, you know, and that made it really hard. And so I said to him, I said, I honestly can't think of anybody. Well, then when they gave me their list, oh, my God, it's terrible. I mean, I thought, I'm not going to see this movie. Like, I literally I'm not going to go see this movie.
Wow.
And that's a lot to say, you know,
for
your first movie. But that was how I felt. I felt, you know, I felt that strongly about it. And I really think if they did it or when they do it, I think I'd need, like a no name, you know,
right.
A new actor.
Oh yeah, no, definitely.
So I absolutely understand that.
Yeah, you know, I've mentioned this scene that I think it's one of my favorite scenes is when Jeremy first, you know, he hears the noises and he thinks she's being harmed and he, you know, barges in. And she's naked, and that scene, I see that. Like, I can see that playing out in my head, and I just don't think I would be judging it the whole time I was watching it, going, that's not how it was in the book. So that was such a great scene. It really was.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite scene from book one, from the first book. Absolutely.
It really was. There was a lot of good scenes in that book, though. There really were. I think that on my favorite shelf, that sits next to. Have you ever read You by Caroline Kepnes?
Yeah, it's a great book.
So
did you read
the
sequel?
To get her. What?
Did you read the sequel?
I did.
I liked You better, because it was so unique, it was just so unique and different.
I saw some negative reviews, but I definitely thought it was really good. It's just you can't really compare them. They were definitely different, but just as good. I laughed. I mean, putting Joe in a different scenario, different, you know, setting made me laugh so many times. You know, I remember I laughed out loud when the first time he said word or something like that. I was like, that was so funny to me, you know, because it was so un-Joe-like. It really was. I'm trying to get her for the show, by the way. She said she would come, you know, she would come on next year. So if she's ever listening, Caroline, you have to come on the show. I do.
That
I love her,
great
too.
Show.
But
yeah,
you're that's what I brought her up because your books are sitting right next to hers. So. I love you both so much.
Compliment. So I love that. Yeah.
They were both so good. You know, we keep blathering on here about the girl in 16. You were coming to talk about the ghostwriter, and yeah, and we're I still have to have you do the reading, but I think that we need to take a break shortly. I don't know. I think James told me to keep talking for a second, but I don't really listen. I don't really pay attention to directions as often as I should. But this is like around the time when we would normally take like a little break. So now that I've made things kind of weird, let's see.
Yeah. Super awkward. Yeah.
No, no, that's okay. That's it's fun like this, you know. We were going, oh, and I still, I didn't, you know, normally before the show, I ask people to do these, you know, the little segments we have. We have 11 questions, and then we have the embarrassing story. And I get them all primed for this before the show, and I didn't do that with you. Yeah, but I'm going to ask you later on for an embarrassing story, so I hope you have a good one.
An embarrassing author story or just a random embarrassing story?
Just a random embarrassing story. It can be about anything. Yeah.
All right, I have one.
Awesome.
I'm ready.
Awesome.
I have a plethora of embarrassing stories, so that is no problem whatsoever.
You know, we had a guest on one time, and I asked him for an embarrassing story, and he's like, you know, I really don't have one. Lies, that is such a lie. Everybody has embarrassing stories. You just don't want to tell us. And you know what?
You don't want to share it, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, you know, this is an intelligent guy. Make something up. You know, you can make something up. We won't know. But maybe he just didn't want to embarrass himself.
Well, he might. The only thing I can think of is, like, drawing a blank. You know, but if you give it to him in advance, then
right,
something has happened that has been just terribly embarrassing.
Right. James did it to me on one of the shows. Just, you know, had me tell an embarrassing story. And I didn't have any warning ahead of time. And I ended up telling this one that if I had had, you know, time to think about it, I would have told a far different one. So now there's,
now there's a permanent record.
I know, and it's not a good one. It's not a good one at all. I was going to ask you to do the reading now that I can't, you know, find James or anything. So do you have a reading?
Yeah,
course?
Do you want me to do it now?
I would love that. Yes, definitely.
Sure.
He's
yeah,
had time to, you
super
know,
long
to weed or whatever he's got to do.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to read an excerpt from The Ghostwriter. The Ghostwriter is on Amazon. The audiobook's coming soon. And so I can just dive into it?
Yes, go for it.
Yes? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here's the excerpt. Okay. I drag back the covers and half crawl, half fall into bed. The sheets still smell like Simon's cologne. I can still feel his lips on my collarbone when I pull them up to my chin. It isn't just this bed. The memories of him, as much as I fight them, exist. In the shower, I sometimes think of his kiss. In the car, I remember how he'd reach over, his hand cupping mine, his thumb caressing the back of my hand, and tighten imperceptibly at quiet moments, a hug of sorts. I remember how much we laughed, our inside jokes, how he would beam at me when he said something witty. How he would beam at me when I said something witty. When I hit my first bestseller list, we opened cheap wine and sat on the floor of that apartment and made a ramen noodle bonfire. That night, in bed, a laptop open, his arm around me, we'd looked at houses. The sky's the limit, he'd said, and we'd gone crazy, flipping through homes we never thought we'd be able to afford, envisioning lives beyond belief. We'd known. We'd known that this was our new life and that there would be more bestsellers. We thought that everything from that point forward would be perfect. I close my eyes and, despite every intention not to, feel the pull towards sleep. I hate Simon with my entire soul, and I love him with every other inch of my body, and neither really matters because he's dead and I'm responsible. That's the end. You know, it's interesting when reading this, I realized he's Simon. So this excerpt is about her husband, mm-hmm. who is no longer alive, obviously. and his name's Simon. And I have a character in a Girl Wants to See named Simon. And so I apparently really dislike Simon.
That is a good name, though. So, it really is. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've never known a Simon. Like, I don't know where my dislike for Simon comes from.
That was really good, and I loved the line about hating him and loving him. I can so totally relate to that. I can.
Yeah, she's very torn on her feelings about Simon, and that's one of the mysteries of the book is you trying to figure out why she hates him, but there are all these like wonderful memories they had together.
Oh.
So you're trying to figure out what happened and how he died and, you know,
mm-hmm.
what is the reason for her inner turmoil?
You mentioned, what were the two books that you mentioned? Gone Girl and Girl on the Train. And have you read anything else by, what is her name? Jillian
Flynn. Yeah. I've read everything by her. I loved
what was that one called? They made a movie into it, too.
It's either Dark Places or Sharp Objects.
The Dark
Places. I get them confused. Yeah, one, like, has pigs dying in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I differentiate. And one's about the girl with the dollhouses. Which one are you thinking of?
The pig thing. The pig one.
Yeah.
They made that into
a
movie.
Part of the
Did
book,
you know that?
But,
Did you see the movie?
No, did you?
Yeah, however you say her name,
Theron. Yeah,
she was in it. It was good. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, definitely not as good as the book, but I really liked it. You definitely should look it up.
I started to watch it one day, like in a hotel room. I was traveling for something. I started to watch it, and I was just like not in the mood for it, you know, which was sad because I'd looked forward to it for so long.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But I was just like, you know, I want to be in the right mindset because I'll probably love this movie.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to waste it on a day when I don't feel like it.
Definitely.
But I love all of her books. She's my favorite author.
That's the only one I ever read. I did see, of course, Gone Girl, but
You didn't read Gone Girl?
No, I haven't.
Oh, wow.
I'm missing out, aren't I?
Well, Gone Girl was much more commercial than Dark Places. I'm pretty sure that one was called Dark Places.
Yeah, it was.
But Dark Places and Sharp Objects, you know, I can't tell. But Gone Girl was a great book. It really was. It was the most, you know, her books are really dark and twisted. And the one you're talking about was much darker in my mind than Gone Girl was.
Yeah, which is why it was so successful. I love the whole idea, back in time, and then the whole, it was good. The whole book was just good. And it looks like we are ready for our a break here. I think James has to take a wee, although he was gone long enough.
I always do.
So we are going to take a quick break and have a song, and then we're going to come back with Becky the Reviewer. But you can't go anywhere, okay, Alessandra?
I'll be here.
Okay.
Look, are you doing commercials before the song, the break, or not? You can't be bothered.
Yeah, no, I can't be bothered.
Fine. No problem.
I'll do extra commercials next week. How's that?
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter. All the while, in this world where we live, there should be more happiness. All the joy you can give, deep when you breathe.
Welcome back to part two.
Welcome back to part two, indeed. Did you know who that was, Xtina, at all, or are you just not bothered?
I have no idea, but I was dancing in my chair, if that makes sense.
You know, that song is one of my favorites. That was Brenda Lee, by the way. My favorite versions of that was by Willie Nelson, which was... I didn't know he'd done a version of that, and I came across it on a British sitcom that I managed to catch on BBC America or something. And there was a great comedy duo, Morecambe and Wise, from the 70s, and that was sort of their theme tune. It's just a great happy song. It's happy, and I like it.
Do you know the Facebook memories that come up, you know, from a year ago? It was right around this time a year ago, because it came up in my memory thingy. That song Lily Allen did, you know which one I'm talking about?
Fuck You. Yeah.
That one. Yes.
Yeah.
That was such a good
song. I love that song. We need to play that again if I can dig that up again. That was a great, great, great song, but yeah.
And she does it so cheerfully. I remember when you played it the first time, I had no idea what she was saying. I just thought, this is such a jolly song. It's such a feel-good song. And then we got done, and I looked up the song, and I was like, oh my God, that's what she's saying? And, I know. It makes it even better now for me. I like it even better now.
it is. She writes some... go on, cough it up. She writes some great quirky lyrics, you know. It's a big Lily Allen fan, actually. She had a baby or something. She's sort of ducked out of the scene for a while, but what happens now then? Is it
Becky? You can't forget Becky. She will hurt you.
Could we? She will. She will. I'm looking for. Okay, we'll get Becky the reviewer on then, shall we, before I get hurt? So I'm sure the listener wouldn't want to hear me getting hurt.
Oh, hey. Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
It's Becky the reviewer. Becky the reviewer, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm mediocre, thank you.
I'm wonderful, thank you.
Xtina's always wonderful. Always a pleasure, Becky. What have you got for us this evening?
Well, actually, we're going to talk about one that is getting ready to come out. It's by Jason McIntyre, and bless his heart, he's sick tonight. So we feel bad for him. His book is called Unwed. And Dina and I beta read it for him. And it's the next book in his Dovetail Co. series. And you can pick up any of those books and start reading them. You don't have to necessarily read them in order. And that's one thing I like about them, is because, you know, they could completely stand alone. But the characters, you know, come from one book to the next. So if you read them in order, of course, you get that. But these are such amazing books. I absolutely love the way that he writes, because he has this ability that when you first start reading it, you're just yanked into the story. And you can see everything, and you feel for the characters. And, I mean, it's just amazing to me. And some writers can do that. And some... you know, you read the story. And I always love the ones where I can see, you know, what's going on in the story in my head like a movie. And he writes like that.
I have to butt in here real quick. I love the Dovetail Cove series. I really do. I think I'm on the fourth book, maybe, I can't even remember. But I loved Unwed. It's releases tomorrow, so everybody should go to Amazon and pre-order it now. It's only 99 cents, and I saw this on
one
of his
posts.
And that's not even the cup of like coffee or whatever. So people should definitely, you know, go pre-order this book. I loved it. I did. And the one other thing I can say that I just absolutely love about the series is that, you know, you're right. You don't have to read them in order or anything like that. But the cool part is that you'll see people, you know, you'll start reading a book and you'll see people from another book. And it's so cool for me. It's like, oh, my God. The dude is in the cafe, and I, you know, I mean, I would get excited when I would, you know, see these names that I've read about in the other books.
Yes.
And I think that is so cool. It totally gave me a Castle Rock feel, you know, like Stephen
yes.
King's. I love
yes.
that. I really, you know, because I love to get to know, I love to be in the story, and that's definitely.
I do too.
You know, yeah, that's what I get when I read these books. And I finished one of the books last night. I finished Fled, and then I picked up another book that I was going to read because I didn't have the next book yet in the series. And I couldn't get into the book I was trying to read, and I blame Jason for, you know, me having a book hangover. Yes, it was all his fault. So.
Yes, yeah, I have done that too. That happens. Have you read Deathbed yet?
Yes, that was the first one I read. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I read that when
I
believe.
I can remember which order they come in.
Yeah, that was the first one. And I believe I read that one right before he was due to come on our show the first time. He has been on our show twice now, and I am definitely going to bug him to come out again or come on the show again.
Oh, definitely.
Again. Yes, when I finish the series, I want him to come on again for the whole show, and we're just going to sit and talk about Dovetail Cove until James, you know, falls asleep probably. Because, you know, I see when I get talking, he just, like, takes the night off or something. Like, he doesn't have somewhere to be or something to do. I don't know.
That's because he can't get a word in edgewise between the two of us.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so.
See, he's quiet.
Either that
now,
or he just
knows.
Likes to hear us.
Right, right.
Nice. It's just nice for me to have a break some weeks, you know. Carrying the show all the time. You know, it's just
so,
nice to let you guys just blather on. I like it. It's good.
So, yeah,
Did you feel sorry for Becky in the book?
Becky.
I keep pronouncing it Becky because I see it. It makes it
right.
Transfers in my brain.
I love Becky. I do. And I was talking with Jason, and, you know, of course these are semi-horror books.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep thinking that there are characters that he better not kill off, you know, and I'm listing them. I'm like, okay, you can't kill this person. You can't. So I love Becky, and she's been through a lot, and, you know,
yes,
don't
has.
Put her through anything else. That's how I feel,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm like that. I'm like that, too. I was like, oh, you better not. Oh, you
yeah.
did. Why did you do that? Yeah, I'm like,
right.
I do that, yeah. And I like
so
her too.
So for all of our listeners, Unwed comes out tomorrow, but it's up on
yes.
on Amazon for pre-order right now for, again, 99 cents. So that's,
Jason
you know.
McIntyre. Jason McIntyre, Jason
there
McIntyre.
There we go.
Buy the book. it's well worth a lot more than 99 cents. And,
people think that
you know,
he's paying us to say
I should hope so.
He's not, though. He's not, though. We're just
yeah.
fans. We're fangirling.
Yeah,
we
are.
Hey, that's fine.
And
well,
the checks in the mail, right, Jason?
Well, you're getting a proportion of 99 cents. Well, great.
I get a penny.
Oh, my
well,
gosh.
Right. Well, thank you, Becky the reviewer. We will we need to bring our Sandra back, so we will speak to you next week.
Bye, Becky.
All right.
Okay,
bye.
Becky. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was fun.
It was fun.
and what was the name of that book again?
It was Unwed by Jason McIntyre.
Well, there you go. Fantastic. Okie doke. Well, shall we bring out... I'll tell you what. You know we've not had on for a while, actually. you know we've not had...
Thank you. grab him by the pussy.
You know what uranium is, right? It's a thing called nuclear weapons and other things, like lots of things are done with uranium, including some bad things.
You know, I don't like lots of bad. He has no idea. I don't like to speak ill of the mentally disabled, but he is a complete fucktard. He really. It's funny. We have a saying in our house now. If somebody farts, it's in our house. It's called. I've done a Donald.
Oh my God!
Because in England, a Trump is a fart. So we have done. India said, "Daddy, I did a Donald."
Oh my God!
And there you go. Which
that's
is great.
Funny. That
know,
is
but,
funny, but it's awful.
I don't like getting too involved in politics, but you know, the man is clearly a moron. I mean, really is. You know, he's a limited mental capacity, you know. In fact, somebody put a montage together of all the times he's praised himself, and it went on for like 20 minutes, you know, that he's the best of this, the best of that, and do that. But he's not. He's just stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. But, you know, you guys voted for him, so, you know,
I didn't, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Collectively. You foreign lot, you know. You know, we let you win the War of Independence, and look where you've ended up. You know, I bet you're regretting the Boston Tea Party now, aren't you? Hey, jokes on you, bucko. There you go.
God.
That's Jim's bitterness corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I moved 8,000 miles away to get away from the political turmoil in England and plonk myself in the middle of a country that has a good chance of getting nuked sometime very soon. So, good move, Jim. Well done. Well done. It should have been New Zealand. Nobody's going to bomb New Zealand. I mean, it's just, you know, probably the safest place to be right now. But there you go. There you go. Anyway, we need to bring Alessandra back now because... She'll be getting bored. I was listening. Are you there, Mom?
I am here. And before I forget, first of all, I love Becky's review. She must be, where is she from? Do you know?
Becky, where
is she
are
from?
I don't know. She lives
South
somewhere
Carolina.
In America. I don't know where she's from. Originally, but she's got
that
southern.
I love her southern accent. But also, y'all were talking about that Lily Allen song, Fuck You.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
You know what? I think you might have played it the time I was here last.
Really?
Cause it was interesting.
Awesome.
It was a year ago. But because I have that on my playlist, and I don't know where else I ever would have heard it from. So I think I must have heard it on your show, and I saved it, and I love it. It's so, like, cheerful and happy. Like,
yes.
Yeah, I could absolutely see how you would sing along with it, having no idea what it is.
I was cheerful. She said she's from Tennessee. That's where she
Becky
gets that adorable
yes.
accent. Tennessee.
Gotcha. I love that. Yeah.
There you go.
It is adorable. And she's always so
happy. Well, I now have a new book, Unwed. I'm going to have to read it.
It really is so good. I can't say any, because I've been reading him now for a couple weeks now. I'm totally in this town. And when I stopped reading last night and I went to try to, you know how that is when you're in a book world and then you try to hop to another one. It just was not working out for me. So I was like, man, maybe I'm just not... just can't read tonight because I don't have anything to read. That's really cool when that happens, although, you know, it is really cool when you can message the author and say, it's your fault that I, you know, having this book hangover.
Have a sleepless night, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So we need to talk more about the ghostwriter, or actually I want to know what you're working on now.
Well, I'm working on two things. Are y'all familiar with the Radish app? It's like Wattpad.
I've heard of it, but I have no idea what it is.
Yeah. So, it's an app, you know, on Android or iPhone, and I publish. I call them episodes. Basically, they're like chapters as I write, so readers can experience that, you know, as it happens. So I'm writing a series called All In on Radish, which is like an erotic romance, and it'll be either a duet or a trilogy. So I think I'm 23 episodes in, which each episode's 2,000 words. So it's cool. So I'm doing that, but as I do that, I'm also working on a new book, which I just started, and it's my goal for National Novel Writing Month, which starts in 4 days or 5 days, 6 days. So I'm going to try to, I'm doing all the pre-prep for the novel now, which my prepping a novel normally takes 2 to 3 weeks. So that's what I'm doing right now, is I'm prepping. And then starting on November 1st, I'm going to rock and roll and hopefully write it all in the month of November. That's my
goal. Oh, wow. Have you done one of those before? The writing month thing? You've done those before, yeah? How many have you done?
This will be my third year participating in NaNoWriMo. That's how I pronounce it. Someone else might pronounce it totally different. I have written a book in a month before, but I've never, normally the timing never works out. I'm normally like halfway through a book during when that month starts. And so I use it to finish a book or I use it to do a rewrite. But this is the first time like my calendar has lined up where I can actually start, you know, write with,
awesome.
With chapter one on the first day. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I did it a few years ago, and it nearly killed me. I have to say, it was so intense. I mean, and it's a great exercise in discipline. But in fact, that my book Pede was actually that the one that Xtina is. I think she's only read the prologue so far, but one day. But that Pede was actually written. The first draft of it was written in a month. So there you go. Never again. I would not dare to do that again. So good luck to you.
I love what you said, Alessandra, about prepping, because that reminded me of I loved all the details and everything that we learned about the Cam girls from The Girl in 6E. And I hate to say this, but we had a guest one time that came on, and whatever the topic was that she was writing about, or the main character's profession, I thought it was really fascinating. So I asked, you know, about, you know, the research that she put into that, and she was like, "Oh no, you know, that's not necessary to the story." So I really didn't research at all, and I don't know. To me, that is one of the best parts about writing, is the research that you put into certain things. You know, I mean, that was
And it's easier to research some industries and things better than others. With camming, I was so ignorant about the entire industry. But it was such a fascinating industry for me.
Yeah, for me
so
too, when I was
that
reading that.
So, cool. Yeah, it's an industry that most men are very familiar with, but very few women are even aware that it exists. I mean, and that. It's a billion-dollar industry, but it's an industry that most women are just absolutely clueless about. I was absolutely clueless about it, probably because I'm not online trying to find out, where to explore my male fantasies. But it was so interesting for two reasons. One, I was fascinated by, so for those who aren't aware of cam girls, they're sort of like online strippers. I mean, they're women who work from home, typically, if you're in the U.S., but if you're in other countries, they're like giant warehouses where, you know, it's like a call center. I mean, there's like 100 girls in this, you know.
Seriously?
Doing this. Yeah, they do it like 8 or 9 hours a day, and they come in and they have a little room and they give the company. It's really like that over there. Like they give the company, you know, most of their money, but they have the, you know, the cameras and the setup and everything. But the girls are in like a room like the size like a tanning booth room.
Wow.
So that's overseas. But in the U.S., it's normal. It's, I mean, it's just like women in their home, and they chat with men online and get paid per minute, and like $7-$10 a minute. Though most of them work for like $2.99 a minute. That's like the normal. But they're earning. Yeah, they're earning huge sums of money. I mean, I say huge sums of money. I mean, the normal one who works 10 to 20 hours a week can easily earn an extra, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 a month from this, you know, much less the girls who do it full time, you know. But the girls who do it full time are easily pulling in six figures a year. And so so I was fascinated both by that, by the whole the industry of it and the possibilities. And it's like, why is any girl working in a strip club, you know, when she could do this from home, have complete control over it? Some of the girls don't even take their clothes off and make more money and not have, you know, the danger and the creepy guys touching them and things like that. So part of it was that. The other fascinating part of it was what goes on behind the camera, because when I was watching as a viewer, you're in like this live chat room, free chat room, and there's like hundreds of people in there, and this girl, and she's chit-chatting, blah, blah. Well, then all of a sudden her screen goes black, and it says like she's in a private chat. And then I'm like, well, what's going on in there? You know, like, I want to know what's happening. Well, you can pay to find out what's happening. You have to, it's like $1 a minute. For $1 a minute, you can watch what is going on in the private room. So I was really interested to know what these fantasies were that these men were going to these strangers for. And some of it was just guys who wanted to get off with girl, you know, and it was very basic. But a lot of them had secret turn-ons that they did not feel comfortable going to their wife or girlfriend about, or were ashamed about, and so they would go to a complete stranger. And that was the other, like, almost moral question, like, that I still find. Like, if, for example, you're a woman and your husband gets turned on by, you know, taking giant toys inside himself, like, but he's a straight guy, but that's his thing, you know, and he likes to do it while wearing ladies' underwear. Do you want to know that? You know what I mean? Or would you prefer to live oblivious to that and him, you know, get his rocks off every Tuesday for 20 minutes with a stranger? You know,
I don't want to know. That was very
interesting, because you might not look at him the same way, you know, once you knew that, you know, or his, you know, so... You know, I talked to a girl, and I mean, she had a client who was a trucker, and all he did was just try on ladies' underwear for, you know.
That's so
You know, and another girl, like, a guy wanted her to show him how she used, like, a maxi pad. Like, it's just, like, random things that turn guys on. So, but, yeah, it was, like, almost, like, it is cheating, but it's also... It's also, like, I think a lot of women probably would prefer not to know certain things.
Yeah, definitely.
About their husbands.
That reminded me, James, of the radiator porn girl. Remember that?
I was just about to mention, we had a guest on, and she was talking about, I think some research that she, I know it's a job that she had. She used to do the phone line thing, and she had a guy who was into radiators, believe it or not. I mean, literally, there is, you know, it's one of those,
like,
things, if you can imagine. Like home radiators.
See, we don't even have those. Is that like is that a British thing, or is that an up north thing?
It's
certainly a British thing. Yeah, we don't have central air and whatnot there. We just have a radiator and hot water goes through it and it warms a room up.
Florida, so she doesn't have to be warm.
No.
It's always warm there.
But like here,
here
in Houston, maybe it is a cooler climate thing. Here in Houston, we have heat, obviously, for the 3 days a year where it gets a little bit below 70.
Exactly.
But it's an air thing, you know. But no, in England you have radiators and. Yeah, and this had a regular guy who would ring,
well,
and his thing was radiators.
He's going to be sorely disappointed once everybody goes to Central Heat.
I know.
Right? Oh, that's bad.
I know. But pretty much anything, and probably I would say anything you could think of, has been sexualized and made a kink of by somebody.
By somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, odd things. Embarrassing story time. Do we have an embarrassing story?
Yes.
Are we doing an embarrassing story? Oh, well, let's do the jingle first, shall we?
We shall.
Hi, I'm Patty.
Shall.
And I'm Thelma. What is your most embarrassing story?
That was crazy.
I liked it, though.
So my most embarrassing, I don't know if this is my most embarrassing story, but it's my most recent embarrassing story.
Uh-huh.
And first to preface, let me tell you, I have three dogs. One of them loves to chew on things, mostly clothing. If you leave clothing on the floor, she's going to chew it. She's going to chew a hole in it. So I'm going to preface that story. So I was in L.A., and at the time, we were talking with the company about doing a reality show with authors. So I had a big, long day in L.A., and I was dressed, to the nines. Thought I was, looking super hot. But I had on these, skin-tight, gold, shimmery pants, and heels and a shirt. And my husband and I, first I met with the reality show people, filmed a few promos with them, and then I don't remember, I had two other meetings in L.A., and I don't remember who they were with or what they were, but I remember getting back to the hotel room, and my feet were, aching because I had been walking so much in heels. And I took off my heels and got undressed, and I realized the pants I was wearing had a hole in them the size, you could have fit a watermelon through it, a fair size watermelon through them, right on, it was my entire crotch region was gone, completely gone.
Oh,
and if I had underwear on it, they were like a thong. I didn't have anything, whatever. But I saw that, and I ran, and I got my husband, and I said, oh, my God, look at my pants. And first of all, only thing I can think of is it must not have been super obvious because my husband didn't notice the entire day. Either that or he's just completely oblivious to anything. But when I think of all of the places that I went, and I filmed a video on I posted on Instagram, but I said, oh, my God, look at – but my ass must have just been hanging out for the entire day. And I had so many important meetings that day, And I thought I was just looking great. And
I'm sure you did look great.
I wonder, did someone notice and think, maybe I should tell this person? Or, maybe I shouldn't? I don't know.
Oh,
but, yeah. I was so flustered. I texted the reality show producer, and I said, please look at the footage you shot of me very closely, because I just realized I had a humongous hole in my pants the entire time, and I don't want it to go anywhere. So
I
was
you didn't feel a breeze or anything?
That's what I wanted to know. That's How could you have not felt that? This isn't a small hole. This was humongous. That I'm thinking when I sat down, did I not notice this? Like, I don't know. I don't have any clue how it was feasibly
great.
Possible that I'd not notice that.
See, my embarrassing story wasn't anywhere near as funny and it's like awesome as that is. Mine was, you know, vomit, you know. I mean, mine was not fun. That's a good story. I like that one.
Not nice, guys. For the first embarrassing story, it's not.
You're doing the demon thing, James.
Yay!
I know. Almost every single show, right at the end of the show, I don't know if it's AT&T or what it is, but it does this demon-y thing to James. And, you know, it's very sad tonight because he hasn't gotten to talk much at all tonight. I've done most of the talking, and now, you know, he can't
say
much
now
either.
So does it go away, or he just can't talk the rest of the show?
Well, usually, he dummies himself for a minute or so, and then usually it's back. It's okay. So.
Okay.
Yeah. But,
poor guy.
I know. It is pretty sad when that happens. But, you know, we had a show, a couple months ago, and I just thank God that I had actually read this guy's work because the second half of the show, James couldn't, he was, like, kicked out of the system so he could hear it, but he couldn't talk at all. So I was by myself. Yes. So, and I think that you can almost tell that I was just a little bit nervous when the show started out because I was talking really fast. But I think I warmed up and I think it was okay. But I'm just really glad I was familiar with his work. Otherwise, it could have been a really awkward half an hour there. It could have been really bad.
this wasn't a story, just a quick story. This wasn't embarrassing for me, but just last weekend, I was at a football game sitting next to my son's girlfriend's mother. So we had just met for the first time. And, so we're trying to, like, be polite, get along, you know, our kids are dating. And so I was asking about her other children. She's like, oh, my daughter, she's trying to, she graduated 2 years ago. She's trying to figure things out. She's like, I said, what does she want to do? She said, she wants to write books. I was like, oh, what kind of books? And she's like, you know, like novels. She's like, but you know there's no money in that.
Oh.
And then she's like, I mean, who actually writes novels? And I'm sitting there thinking, she's got to know what I do. Like, I can't imagine that this hasn't been communicated. And so I was asking a lot of questions. And finally I'm like, well, you know that's what I do. And then she's like, what do you mean? And I was like, oh, I write novels. She's like for money? And I go, yeah, it's my full-time job. And she she was so embarrassed. But she didn't need to be. Like, I wasn't offended by it, you know.
Right.
I know the industry better, you know, than she does, so it's fine. But it was just, I felt so bad for her. She kept apologizing the entire rest of the football game. I was like, it's really fine. Like, I'm not offended. It's fine.
I have to say, I swear you are not old enough to have a kid who has a girlfriend. There's unless
well,
it's kindergarten maybe.
No, yeah. Well, he's 14, about to be 15, and I am 33, so I could have had him, but he's my stepson.
Okay, gotcha.
But I married his dad 10 years ago when he was, well, I met him when he was 2.5, so.
Yeah,
I claim him. Yeah,
I have a 13-year-old who's in the middle of his first big crush, and I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna crush this trollop if she, you know, hurts my baby. So, and that's what I keep calling her too. And she's a sweet girl, she is. But you know, the mom protector.
Oh, Mama Bear. Yeah, you got
yes,
protect.
I'm just like the trollop. You know. So I'm definitely not ready for this part of his life at all. It's bad.
I totally get it.
Oh, my God. This show has gone by way too fast, and we had so much fun. Will you promise to come back and see us?
Of course.
Yay.
You know it. Anytime.
And I managed to get back
you letting
just,
me come
just
on.
For the end.
Yay!
Hey!
Tell us where we can find you online.
My website is alessandratorrey.com, and I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you I have a second website, alessandratorrey.inc, which is INK.com, and that's a website devoted to aspiring authors and currently published authors. So if you're interested in writing a book or have ever thought about it or anything else, alessandratorrey.inc has a ton of free content. Plus, I have my online courses there, how to write a book, how to publish a book, how to market a book. So that, but my either website, you can find links to all my social media. And, of course, I'm on Goodreads also.
Awesome. And I'm pretty sure we have all your links put up on our Facebook page. So if anybody wants to stalk Alessandra, they can go there and find your links too. And again, thank you so much for coming back on the
thank
show.
You
and
so
I can't
much.
Wait to have you back.
Yay. Thank you for coming back.
Thank
it's been
both.
An absolute pleasure. And it is unfortunate. It is time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.
Good night.
This morning.